Father, we just truly do thank you for your presence here this night. We thank you, Father God, that you are making your children witnesses of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are purifying and perfecting us. We thank you, Father God, that you're taking us to places that we have never been to before. And I thank you, Father God, that you're here tonight. Your angels are here going to and fro throughout your chairs. Your Holy Spirit is here. I thank you, Father God, for the Godhead who looks down upon us continually. Open our spiritual ears to hear what thus saith the Lord tonight. And Father, fill us to overflowing with your goodness. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's so much that God is doing in the world that people are not talking about because they're too busy about talking about the darkness. And if we just be really looking at the goodness of God, of what he's really doing, maybe it's just in your own life, but at least look at the goodness of what he's doing in your own life. Instead of concentrating on the bad, we would be different people. We would be people full of joy. And we would be people that God could use to send forth to deliver the downtrodden. Let's go to Exodus chapter 28, verse 36. Make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it as on a seal. This is what they're supposed to engrave, holy to the Lord. Fasten a blue cord to it to attach it to the turban. It is to be on the front of the turban. It will be on Aaron's forehead, and he will bear the guilt involved in the sacred gifts the Israelites consecrate. Whatever their gifts may be, it will be on Aaron's forehead continually so that they will be acceptable to the Lord. So right here in Exodus 28:36, we just read that they took a square golden mitre, and they wrote holy to the Lord on it, and they put it over the forehead of the high priest. Now God has been and still is calling us as priests and kings, and he wants our minds to be given to him in holiness. They wrote holy to the Lord. And you should constantly be saying this, my mind is holy to the Lord. I have the seal of God on my forehead, and devil, you cannot use my mind in any way, shape, or form. Gold always represents a pure mind, and God's been talking a lot about gold lately with his anointing. Gold is, that's why we have, well, God told me to put that picture in the back of the bulletin. God wants us to understand how completely he loves us. It's with such an anointing that we should break the devil's back at every turn. The devil should in no wise, in any way, shape, or form, ever be able to attack us ever again. Now, Acts 2:32 from the Message Bible said, this Jesus God raised up, and every one of us here is a witness to it. So it was a spirit of holiness, you know, God, that raised Jesus from the dead. All right? Because of this, we can say that holiness has resurrection power on it. So God's been telling us that he wants to give, well, he has been instilling in us resurrection power. And so because of God raised Jesus from the dead, and that was the spirit of holiness that did that, we can say that holiness has resurrection power on it. Jesus had a holy mind, and Satan could not keep him bound because you cannot bind holiness. As we were singing that one song, I thought, well, that goes right along with the teaching tonight. You know, nothing could hold Jesus down. Jesus had a holy mind, and Satan could not keep him bound because you cannot bind holiness. So what is that telling you something right now about your mind? If your mind is holy and pure, Satan will not be able to bind your mind up. The Lord is our sanctifier, and John 17:19 tells us that Jesus sanctified himself for us. And John 17:19 says, "And for their sake," this is Jesus speaking, "I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth." For their sake, for you and our sake, his disciples' sake, he said, "I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth." Now, we all know that Jesus was holy from the moment he was born to the moment he died. There was no mixture in Jesus whatsoever. So why did he have to sanctify himself for you and I? His sanctification was obedience to the will of the Father. And by sanctifying himself, Jesus said, "I am willing to go to the cross for them. I am sanctifying myself for their sake." Now, God is trying to get us to get a holy mind, that we'll be willing to pick up our cross daily for the lost and the dying world out there, and that because you're sanctified and holy, as you minister to them, then your anointing should pour into them. All right? Jesus prayed this prayer for the body of Christ in John 17:16. Jesus said, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Let me ask this question. Were the disciples in the world when Jesus first called them to walk with him? Yes, they were. But once they answered the call and walked with Jesus, and they were no longer in the world, but now they were in Christ Jesus. We are the very same. We were in the world until Jesus called us out of sin and degradation and called us to himself. And then at that point, we were no longer of the world, but now we belong to the body of Christ. All right? Now, the body of Christ must sanctify their thoughts for the body's sake, you know, for everybody's sake. The body of Christ must pull down the high places that exalt themselves against the word of God. That's our job. That's what we're here to do. God has been telling us what our assignment is now, I think, for about 2 weeks now, hasn't he? He's been pulling us closer and closer to our final destination, the assignment that he wants us to do in this end time. Now, what is sanctification? Sanctification is simply growing in holiness. Now, each one of us in here should have been growing in holiness for quite some time now, because God has been talking about that. God has been getting us ready to stand in the presence of the Lord. You understand that? I don't really think you do understand that. He just isn't doing this just for the world out there, but he wants us to be holy and sanctified so we can stand in his presence. And we can get our orders directly from heaven, because this is what he's been telling us that he wants us to do. Come up hither so I can give you directions from the throne of grace. Sanctification will bring his presence, which is going to bring peace into the body of Christ. If we, the forerunners are chosen people. So if we can't give peace, how are we going to give peace to anybody else? You know, we live in a lost and dying generation, right? That's what it's all about right now. We live in it, but we don't have to be part of it. We are not supposed to be partakers of anything of the world, but we are supposed to be true examples of what Jesus really lived when he was on this earth. It is time we quit doing the devil's work against one another. Against one another. I'm still hearing, and this upsets me, where you still hold on to something that happened a year ago from a brother or a sister. Or you go and you talk to them, how could you side with them? And nobody's siding with anybody. Why are we still doing this after all that God has been doing to this body? Why are we still doing this? Why aren't we sanctified? And why aren't we walking in holiness? And why are we not walking in total unity? I want each one of you to think about this tonight. All right, it is time we quit doing the devil's work against one another, and it's time that we get this plate of the golden mitre over our forehead, right here where Aaron wore it. If you have to, make yourself a sign. Attach it to your forehead. Man, whenever you were first saved, you had little postcards everywhere that remind you constantly that you were saved and what the Word of God said. All right, what is God trying to do to the body of Christ? He is trying to bring the church to the place where we will exercise our minds in holiness. And God said, impurity of thought continually. He is trying to bring the church to a place where we will exercise our minds in holiness to such a point that the very second the enemy tries to bring a demonic thought to us, we can kick it right out. And don't say you're there because you're not. You're really not, because you entertained that thought. See, that's not holiness. So if somebody did something to you 6 months ago and you're going to bring it up right now, you sure didn't kick that thought out. You're still holding on to that demonic thought. And the more the church says no to those unrighteous thoughts, the stronger the church becomes. This is why we don't have unity, is because we're not saying no to these thoughts that Satan keeps bringing to our minds. And our minds are not holy, therefore they can just keep penetrating right on through, right? God has been trying to bring the church to a breakthrough here in our minds. Where's your mind? Touch your forehead. Touch your forehead. This is where your mind's at, right? It's not down in your feet. This is the mind of Christ. I used to do that all the time. This is the mind of Christ, you dummy. You can't work in my mind. Because the enemy bombards your mind constantly. And every time that... Okay, where am I at here now? And every time the church says no to their unrighteous thoughts, it is saying yes to love. You know, I'm not going to think about what that person did to me 6 months ago. I'm going to love them and I'm going to forget. I'm going to quit holding on to things that are pulling me down. God has been trying to bring his body of Christ to a new level in righteousness. Where we were at, or where we are even still at, is not good enough. There's still another level of righteousness that we have to enter into, still another level of holiness that we have to enter into in order to be the pure vessels of honor that God can work through. All right, God has been trying to bring his body of Christ to a new level in righteousness, and there will come a time when unrighteous thoughts will have no place. Aren't you, won't you be glad when that day comes? Amen. There will come a time, as long as you keep saying no. The Lord has called us to go forth and bring down Goliath. Do you know where David put that stone? Show me. Right between the eyes and the forehead, right? Do you know who Goliath is in your life? It's uncontrolled thoughts and unholy thoughts. Uncontrolled thoughts and unholy thoughts. The high places are still dominated by our thoughts. And when we put that stone right there, where, show me where you're going to put the stone. All right, Nancy, thank you. And we write holy unto the Lord over our forehead. Please don't go out and get tattooed. I could just see somebody doing that and say, well, Pastor Barbara said we should write it on our forehead. Can't you, Brett? All right, now, let's read that again. The high places are still dominated by our thoughts, and when we put that stone right there in our forehead and we write holy unto the Lord over our forehead, we begin a new movement. We are sanctifying the thoughts. We are sanctifying the thoughts. God has been calling us to a sanctification on a level that we have not known before. And it is time that we get this plate of the golden mitre, the righteous thoughts, over our forehead, which is a principle of jubilees. Which is, that totally blew my mind when he said that. God has spoken that this is our year of jubilee. You know he said that. So we must get our thought life cleaned up. And everybody's jubilee is up to them. It's up to you how long it takes you to get your thought life cleaned up. I know we all want the overshadowing that Peter had, do we not? When he walked by somebody, the disease left their body. There was something that came out of Peter, and when it came out, a disease left in somebody else's body. I'm waiting for the day when this body of Christ comes in here excited, saying, I walked by somebody today and they yelled and said, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Or I'm waiting for the day you come in and you say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, because your thoughts became so holy and so righteous that you were just healed. Because you wouldn't think no more negative thoughts. There is a new wind that is blowing. This wind is a wind of change, and God told us that. This wind is also going to suddenly blow you into place. This wind is blowing out evil and corruption. This wind will uncover the wickedness of the land. God's saying, I'm going to get deep down inside of you, and everything that's not of me, I'm bringing it up. And when I bring it up, let me deal with it. So when you start thinking about unholy things that you know that you shouldn't be thinking about, that's God bringing that up, and he wants you to give that to him. He wants you to say, take it, I don't want it. Don't hold on to anything dark that he brings. Don't hold on to anything he brings up, because he needs to clean you from the inside out. There's too many walking around washed on the outside, but dirty as they can be on the inside. They look holy on the outside, but inside they are not. We don't want to be one of those, do we? When people look at us, they want us to see us. And when they look at the outside, they're going to see the inside of us too. We are not putting on a show. We are two examples of what Jesus really looked like when he walked this earth. On the bulletin back page is a statement from God, my liquid love runs over you like pure gold. The gold God has been talking about means purity. He is talking about a pure mind. And I remember recently, whenever he's been praying over you people, he said, I'm going from the crown of your head, your mind, to the very soles of your feet. So that means everything. He is washing and cleansing absolutely everything. In Psalm 18:26 says, with the purified you show yourself pure. With the purified you show yourself pure. To the pure he shows himself pure. And in these last days, the pure are going to become more pure. The righteous are going to become more righteous, and the wicked are going to become more wicked. Guys, none of us have attained the pureness of God that God wants us to attain. We just have not. I can tell you that if you'll just allow God, all I do anymore is cry. I'll cry just at the drop of a hat. I'll just start crying. It's because the Spirit just floods over me. And then God starts speaking to me. This morning I went out in my study and I sat down in a chair and I held my face in my hands and I prayed for the service. And when I was through praying, I took my hands down and the room was so bright it about blinded me. God came and visited me in my study this morning. And then he came to church with me also and he ministered to us. See, you're going to have to work on pureness. I'm telling you, that's the only way we're going to make it. And my prayer all the time is, God, make me pure and holy. Don't let any unclean thought or any unclean thing enter my mind in any way, shape, or form. Because I know that I know that I know without that pureness, without that holiness, I'm not going to make heaven my home. I'm not. And I, believe me, I do not want to go to hell and spend my time down there throughout eternity with people that I've seen here on earth. They were bad enough here and they're going to be worse in hell. I want to go to be with my Father, and I want to work for my Father in the kingdom of heaven too. Where's your mind at? What do you want out of life? All right, there is no longer a middle ground where we have been straddling the fence between righteousness and wickedness. That fence is gone, and God's been telling us for quite a while that it's gone. It is either righteousness now or just totally wicked. And how many are you seeing? How many of you are really seeing people like that? You know, they had a choice. They could serve God or serve the devil, and they decide to serve the devil, and they are wicked. Just being around them, you can feel the darkness around them, and you don't even want to be around them because they didn't choose God, even though they knew God, really knew him, but yet they chose the evil. These are church people. Don't you be one of those. Please don't be one of those. The Lord has been talking about all the old nature root system. The Lord has been taking all the old nature root system out of us, and He is leaving His nature in us, and He is after a harvest. So what is He doing? Taking all the old nature root system out of us, and He is leaving His nature in us, and He is after a harvest. That harvest is those who will mature in righteousness. We have two harvests here going on, one the lost souls and one for us. God's trying to bring us into pure righteousness. Those who are coming forth in that pure mind that will be open to the Lord and will be directed by Him. This harvest is those who are coming forth in that pure mind that will be open to the Lord and will be directed by Him. Now, if the church does not reveal the Holy Spirit, then the darkness is going to reveal evil in its worst state. There is no middle ground. People are going one way or the other. If you are working on being pure and holy, then keep working on being pure and holy. Don't say, well, I might as well give up. It isn't going to work. It works. It really works. It's the enemy telling you it's not working. You just see, if it wasn't working, he wouldn't be coming telling you it wasn't working. That's how dumb you are. You don't even realize that. So whenever he comes and tells you something isn't working, just tell him to get lost. He's just telling you that, oh, yes, it is. All right? We are all being challenged to come forth and let the Holy Spirit move through our lives with signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? So we can touch the multitudes. You know, the word tells us that signs, wonders, the signs are not for the church. The signs are for the unsaved. And he doesn't want to bring signs, wonders, and miracles into the church. The church has heard enough about that. He wants you to be a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. And he wants to send you to the lost and the dying and perform miracles out in the street like Peter and Paul and them did. We need to understand that there is coming a harvest like we have never seen before. God is getting us cleaned up for his divine purpose. We need to be sealed. We need to be circumcised in our thought life. When you are circumcised in heart, you are really tender to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When you're sitting in here, and I don't, if you're praising and you're worshiping, if you're really, what did we say? When you are circumcised in heart, you are really tender to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, well, you'll feel him and you'll know he's here, and you'll just become undone. You won't be able to control yourself. You'll weep, and you'll just start telling the Father how much you love him. And he comes closer and closer and closer. We also need the seal of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. God wants to breathe upon us. There is life in his breath. There is also death in his breath. When he breathes on you, you're going to die to your wickedness. Those tares are going to come out and they are going to burn, and righteousness and purity will begin to bloom in your heart, and you will come forth on a new level. Read this again. When he breathes on you, this is the truth. You are going to die to your wickedness. Those tares are going to come out, and they are going to burn, and righteousness and purity will begin to bloom in your heart, and you will come forth on a new level. How may you understand that you are a forerunner and that God has been cleansing you from the inside out, because he needs a group of people that are pure and holy that he can send to the lost and the dying. Do you really understand that? Do you really believe that? Or do you just sit here and listen and it goes in one ear and out the other? God needs us. He needs more than one person. He needs us. Wherever you work, you're needed by God to be a light in a dark, dark world. In your home, you're needed. If you're the only one saved, you're needed to be a light in a dark, dark world. If you're selling a house, you need to be a light in a dark, dark world. Whatever it is, if you're in the pharmacy, you need to be the light to the darkness that comes up to that cage window. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to say a thing. Peter didn't say anything when he walked down the street. When the people walked by him, they were saved. They were healed. All you have to do is be in that place, be a light, and God will do the rest. You don't need to jump through hoops. You don't need to yell and scream. You're going to go to hell if you don't change. You don't need to do nothing but just be a light, right? We are in a new time. We are in a new season. Jubilee means that the enemy is going to lose his grip on sin and bondage. So what God has been doing with you is bringing you to a place to where you can begin to own your sins and repent of them by saying no to them and burn them up so you can go on with righteousness where the mind becomes clear. Whenever you begin to own your sins, in other words, you say, yes, I am sinning. I am doing this thing. Then you repent instead of saying, I don't do that. Then you own it. You are a sinner. You know, you are doing those things. And then you have to honestly, from a pure heart, say, God, please forgive me. Repent. And then don't go back into that mess again. Right? Have you ever noticed in the Bible how the land of promise was always occupied by corruption and enemies of God? It was. Look at your word. Have you ever noticed in the Bible how the land of promise was always occupied by corruption and enemies of God? Right now, the church is emerging from an overlap of seasons into a release of power. When the church agrees with heaven, what is loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. And Matthew 16:19 said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I brought up scriptures the other time I taught where God did what man told him to do. God told me one time, it's your choice, whatever you choose, that's what's going to happen. So whatever I said on earth was going to happen in heaven. He wants to give each one of you the same grace and the same power to speak a word and watch it happen. I don't believe that you understand how much power and authority you really have if you become pure in your mind and you become holy and righteous. But you're going to have to become pure, holy, and righteous before God's going to give you the choice of life or death. Are you listening here? This is very, very serious, what God's doing for us these last 2 weeks, because he's lining us up with his word. And he's getting ready to do a great and a mighty thing. And just out of the blue, God just said to me the other day, I do sit in my holy mountain and I do watch. So God is sitting up there on the holy mountain. And he is watching what each one of us do. We can say whatever we want to say with our lips. But God sees what you're doing. He sees you when nobody else is around. Are you understanding this? So you aren't fooling anybody but yourself. Remember when I was fasting about the peanut, I grabbed the peanut on the 40th day and ran up the steps. And he said, where are you going? I said, I don't want anybody to see me eat this peanut. He said, I see you, and that's all that matters. So it doesn't matter who you're hiding from. God still sees you, and that's what matters. You can act one way in front of the church, but God sees you when you're home and you're all alone, or in your car, when your thoughts are going crazy. They're not godly thoughts. He sees all that. And see, what he wants to see is us in a car all by ourselves, and our thoughts are pure then, and they're pure when we're in our home, and they're pure when we're in the church, that we have one mind. Our minds aren't scattered, but they are pure and they are holy. All right, so God said, saints, it is finished every place but here. Point your forehead. Them two stars means point your forehead. So it's finished every place but here, all right? It is finished with the enemy. And the only power the enemy has is the power that we give him. Tonight, God is saying that he's taking care of everything else. Now you have to purify your mind and make it holy. He can't do that for you. Don't blame him if on judgment day you stand before him and he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I do not know you. If you don't do your part now, that's what's going to happen. It's not going to be God's fault if you don't enter into the kingdom of heaven. When we pull his thoughts down, he has no power. He is a defeated foe, and I'm talking about the enemy. When we pull his thoughts down, he has no power. He is a defeated foe. When the church wakes up and says, no, that is it. You are not taking me any further. Then and only then is it finished. Come on. A lot of you in here tonight could say that your mind wanders a whole lot some days. And it wanders to impure things. But you're the only one that can say, Satan, it's finished. I don't even think of that. I won't let you get anywhere near my mind with that junk. My mind is a mind of Christ, and I only think godly things. And that is possible to do. That is not an impossible task. It is not. We all know if you're around negative people, no matter how much you're positive after bid, let's say months of that, you have to start fighting negative thoughts, right? Because the enemy, he doesn't care how he fights, and he doesn't ever stop, and he keeps wearing you down till you get to the place where you're about ready to give in, and you have to make sure you keep washing your mind with the blood of Jesus to keep it pure and holy. The enemy has released demonic forces to withstand the church, and adversaries have been released. But God has given the church the Holy Spirit, and we must use him as an arsenal to bring down every adversary, every enemy, and hindrance that would keep the promise from coming into fruition and being manifested in our lives. We have all that we need to stay set free. The reason why we don't stay set free is because we are lazy. And we would rather just sit around and say, oh, well, you know, what's the use? And just let the devil go ahead and have our minds and do whatever he wants to with our minds. That's going to take you to hell. You're going to have to learn to fight. There's a prayer here, and I like us to read the prayer. Let's pray against that right now. All right, you can pray out loud. Lord, we just ask right now that you would release your Holy Spirit, that you would release the power and the authority of your word. We speak against every demonic opposition. We speak against every adversary that would try to keep us from the promises. We speak against the strongholds that would resist the release of the healing anointing. That would resist the manifestation of the kingdom of God in the earth. We break the power of it in Jesus' name. We break every stronghold, every enemy that would set itself against this church and the people. Now, whenever we say this church, you're the church, okay? You're breaking it against what's coming against you. We declare in Jesus' name that every purpose would be accomplished in this place. We pray that every manifestation of miracle power will come to pass. Now, we're praying this over your own lives, all right? That every prophetic word will be spoken. That every healing would take place. That only the truth and the word of God would be prevalent in this place. We speak against every kingdom that would set itself against truth, against justice and righteousness. We declare it to be done in Jesus' name. Now, that was to be prayed over your life. That's why I had you speak it out. You just told the devil he's finished in your life, and that everything that God wants to do in your life is now going to come to pass. And everything that the enemy had assigned against you is null and void. That he can no longer bring his evil deeds against you. That you are God's child. That you are wrapped and sealed in the blood of Jesus. That God's purity is being washed over you. And that the enemy has to flee. From this moment forth, you do not have to give in to. You didn't have to before now. But now, since you heard what God has to say, you don't have to give in to anything that the enemy brings into your mind. Good, bad, or indifferent, you don't have to give in to it. Your mind should be the mind of Christ. What God wants done here tonight is he wants to pray over the people's minds wholly unto the Lord. He wants to drop an anointing upon you, where it'll touch your mind, and your mind will become holy and purified, and you will find that the enemy won't be able to target your mind as he has in the past, because he's going to see that God has anointed you with a pure mind, a righteous mind, and he has to walk away. Now, if you want God to drop that anointing on your mind, and that anointing says it'll be engraved on, you don't get a tattoo, it'll be engraved on your forehead, and the enemy will see this, holy unto the Lord. If you want to do that, just come up and just allow God to touch you in a powerful way tonight.